الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. As many in the audience know and recognize, clearly tomorrow, inshallah, for us will be the day of Arafah. And it's a very special day. In one way you can say it's the single most important day of the year. Right? If you had to pick one day, there's ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, whether it's Yawm al-Nahr or Yawm al-Arafah. But if you take that one opinion, that it is the single most important day of the year. In fact, these entire 10 days were the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first 10 of Dhul-Hajj. So in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes oaths by different things. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath with something, we know that there's nothing greater than Allah. That's why we can't take an oath by anything other than Allah, right? You can't swear by the pillar or the tree or something. We can't do that. We can only say Wallahi or Billahi, Dallahi. So for us, we're limited to making qasam with Allah. But what happens if you're at the very, 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 very top, right? Then what do you make a qasam with? There's nothing greater than you. So in that situation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a qasam, He doesn't take it because there's anything, na'udhu billah, greater than Him, but rather to draw our attention to the greatness of that thing, particular thing, that there's some sign, there's some lesson, there's some azmah in that thing. So in one verse, in Surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, وَالْفَجْرُ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. So he says, he swears by Fajr, and then he says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and by the 10 nights. So the ulama write that the 10 nights here refers to the first 10 days of the Hajj. That's one interpretation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by these 10 days. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and by the witnesser, and the thing that is witnessed. So what is referred to over here? It's ikhtilaf amongst the scholars. But according to one opinion, both of these things are referring to Yawm Arafah. And according to another opinion, one is referring to Yawm al-Jum'ah, and the Mashhud is referring to Arafah. So the 10 days were, you know, highlighted. And the most beloved actions are the actions that we do in these 10 days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the ones that are done in these 10 days. They're highlighted, their importance, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking a qasam of those 10 days. But, you know, to be frank, the 10 days came, like in some ways, you know, at least there's a little bit of hype for Ramadan, right? They have get ready for Ramadan programs and prepare for Ramadan programs. And, you know, Ramadan is coming and people are in the masjid and there's tarawih. I mean, the 10 days of Dhul-Hajj come and go. I mean, what was different? How much extra sadaqah did we give? How much extra salah did we pray? How much extra zikr did we do? How much extra tears did we shed in the middle of the night? How much longer was our qiyam? How much extra did we fast before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَلَّ مَا صَامَ. You know, how little did we fast? How little did we pray? How little did we remember? And when you look back at that, you really feel guilty. You're like, man, it was... If someone told you, this is going to be the most important day of your life, right? The day that you get married, the day that you graduate from med school, the day that you have your first child, I don't know, whatever it is, people take it seriously, right? If someone tells you that is the most important day, and these extremely important days came, and why are they so important? Because it's salvation. Right, because you can totally screw up, mm-hmm. You can totally junk your car, and you can bring it in these 10 days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give you a loaner, He just gives you a new car. Right? It's such a huge, huge opportunity, and people just completely slept through it. Right? They just hit snooze, snooze, snooze. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. And you kept on procrastinating until the very last day. Right? The last day came, and then here's the final reminder. Don't hit the snooze button on the day of Arafah. This day is such a huge day. There is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the hellfire than on the day of Arafah. This is a day where people will stand, and I think it was maybe it was Abdullah ibn Mubarak, if I'm not mistaken, him or Hassan al-Basri, one of the two, I think. And they went and they saw Sufyan al-Thawri. And Sufyan al-Thawri was crying. And then he asked him, who is the worst person in this majlis? And he was talking because they were at Arafah, right? And this was a situation where people were making dua. And so he asked him, who is the worst person in this situation on the day, on Arafah? So he didn't say the zani, he didn't say the qatil, he didn't say the sharib khamar, the drinker of wine, he didn't talk about the adulterer, he didn't talk about the fornicator, he didn't talk about the cheater, he didn't talk about the liar. He said the worst person here is the one who comes here and thinks that they will not be forgiven. The worst person is the one who comes here. I mean, you're in Arafah and you think that you can't get forgiven? You gotta be out of your mind. Then you just don't understand. You don't understand Allah. You don't understand this deen. You have no idea what we're about. This was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah that was so powerful that one of the Jews, he wasn't even Muslim, one of the Jews came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, if this verse was revealed to us, then we would have made an eid. And he told Umar ibn al-Khattab that. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that I know exactly, you know, when it was revealed, what the circumstances were that was revealed. And it was revealed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Friday, right? On the situation, on the day of Arafah. So it was both of those days were the Eid, right? And what was the ayah? اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That for today we have completed the entire religion for you. The entire religion is completed when? It's on this day. And that's why the ulama say that whatever, it's not that revelations didn't come. That wasn't the last verse that was revealed in the Quran. The revelation occurred after that. But the revelations that occurred after that only elucidated further and elaborated on things that had already been revealed before. Right, the maghaz, the main matter, was completed by that point. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, after, I mean, this was an amazing, it was an amazing spectacle. There's people who had never seen the Prophet ﷺ before in their life. And on that day they grew up, they became sahabi. Never, they only heard about this person. They're looking, right, and then they see Rasulullah ﷺ riding on Qaswa. And in that moment, one person becomes a sahabi. Someone sees him on the mountain. In that moment, another person becomes a sahabi. You know, someone sees him giving the Eid Qurban at Masjid Nimra, where that is now. And another person becomes a sahabi. I mean, people are just becoming sahabi left, right, and center. 100,000 people, the vast majority of which had never even interacted with the Prophet ﷺ. And then you think about people sometimes listening to the Prophet ﷺ for the first time in their life and what he was telling them. Right? What it must have sounded like, what it must have felt like to see the Prophet ﷺ standing there. And the miracle was that he was speaking to 124,000 people and there was no loudspeaker and every single one of them heard. And it's a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ in the same way that Ibrahim ﷺ had the miracle, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَلَا كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, just call them for Hajj. Ibrahim ﷺ said, there's no one here, who's going to come? And go look now, right? There's like 3 million people, subhanAllah, right? I mean, not COVID, but prior to that, 3 million, 5 million people. Allah made the voice reach. You just had to do, you just listen, you just do as you're ordered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the results. So that's what the Prophet said. He said, it was like an ultimate expression of his entire life. It's an ultimate expression of his entire life because it was never about success. It was never about necessarily achieving the results. إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. He just showed up for the job. And he said, Ya Allah, the results are in your hands. But he left no stone unturned making sure that he did his job. And when I say like no stone unturned, we mean no stone unturned. You know, and I guess it makes a little bit more sense to give you some context. Like recently, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Chicago and I got to spend some time with Sheikh Hussein. And we were sitting over breakfast and we were talking and just sort of a general discussion. And, you know, I was this thing came up in discussion about, you know, how much you need to push yourself in deen. And I said, no, technically, if you don't do, right? He's like, technically, if you don't do anything extra and just live a good life and, you know, you're fine, you're not, you haven't done anything wrong. It was a statement to that effect. And he said, well, I don't know if you can say that. He said, maybe if you're the taxi driver that walks, you know, works from the morning all the way to the evening and he comes down, he has like 5 kids he feeds and he goes to sleep, like maybe that's fine. But for you, I don't think you can say that. I mean, then he started talking about how he can't sleep at night and how he's always worried about the ummah. And just like you know, it's like that voice that you wish you could just turn it off, but you can't because it's always on. Like, you're always worried. You're always caring. Just can't stop. Just to live like that, I was like, oh my God, people actually live like that. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to always be stuck in the on position. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did. He didn't give an excuse. If there was an opportunity for dawah, he would go. If there was an opportunity where he could push a little bit harder, he would push a little bit harder. If there's an opportunity for jihad, he would do jihad. If there's an opportunity to give, he would give. And after all of that, then he told the people, he said, this is the ayah that would make him cry, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَوْنَا شَهِدًا. That how will it be when we bring you as a witness over these people? And then he said, they're going to be asked about him, did I do my job? So he asked them, he said, did I do my job? And you know, they all said, you know, أَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتُ الْأُمَّةَ وَكَشَفَ الْغُمَّةَ وَكَمَا قَالَ. That basically you did, وَبَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ, you did your job. Right? And then the Prophet ﷺ, he pointed his finger to the heavens, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Ya Allah, bear witness, right? There's 124,000 people bearing testimony that he did everything that he can. And it was at that position, right, that this mighty verse is being revealed, right? And it's a very beautiful message that he gives. We won't go into the khutbah, that, you know, on that occasion, that the deen has been completed. And so that is really a cause for celebration. And in that completion of the deen, there's one particular act, right? It's like almost this Russian doll. So you have deen, and inside the deen you have the 5 pillars, right? Which is like the core of the deen. And inside the 5 pillars you have one of the pillars which encompasses almost all of the other pillars, right? Like in Hajj. You're also praying during Hajj, right? You're also spending your money during Hajj. So when they talk about ibadat, there's ibadat maliyah and ibadat badaniyah. There's ibadat that you do with your body and there's ibadat that you do with your wealth. So salah is an amal ibadat badani, right? It's only with your body. You're not spending any money. Zakat is only mali, right? Sawm is only badani. But Hajj is that ibadat that it combines both. It combines the mal, and it also combines the body. You're doing everything in that. So in that pinnacle, right? In that pinnacle of an ibadah, what did the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Right? That the Hajj itself is Arafah. The Hajj itself is Arafah. If you wanted, and that's why it's a rukun of Hajj. If you miss Arafah, you miss the entire Hajj. And if you caught Arafah, even if they took you in a helicopter and like over Arafah and you passed over it, which sometimes they'll do, at least you fulfilled the thing. The other things you can make up with them and this and other things, but the Arafah has to be done. So you take the entire deen, you take it to the 5 pillars. Inside the 5 pillars, you take it to the, you know, the Hajj, and inside the Hajj, you distill it to Arafah. And what's the secret of Arafah? Right? What is the secret of Arafah? The secret of Arafah is forgiveness. It's rahmah. It's salvation. And that's one of the things that we'll understand about our deen, is that no matter how bad we messed up our entire lives, in these past 10 days, our ghafla is just a microcosm of our macro ghafla in the rest of our lives. Right? If we've been ghafil in these 10 days, it's not because we were so remembrant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time and these 10 days came and we forgot. It's because we're always forgetful, we're always heedless, we're always falling short in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we behaved in the past 10 days was just a reflection of that. But no matter how bad the negligence is, right? And if the negligence was so bad even that, you know, if we fell into sin, the idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us down to the day of Arafah, which is tomorrow, and shows us that the perfection of our deen is in this forgiveness. I mean, there's also this innuendo that our perfection of deen is that no matter how far you fall, there's always a second chance. And so tomorrow's our second chance. How does wukuf Arafah occur? What do you have to do? You have to make dua. You have to make a certain amount of salat. You have to read a certain amount of Quran. You can do all of those. You need to make a certain amount of dua. You can do all of those. But if you do nothing but just show up, technically Arafah has occurred. So I guess one simple reminder is tomorrow on the day of Arafah. And don't think that, okay, we're not there in making the Hajj, so it doesn't really pertain to us. Arafah, the blessings of Arafah, in a sense, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is so vast. He didn't want to make it khas with the people who are getting to do Hajj. He wanted to spread it in the entire ummah, in the entire globe. So he says, it's like, you're giving away and you're just in a good mood. You're like, free money for everyone, free candy for everyone. Let everyone have it. So Allah was just distributing on this day. And distributes all across the world. What do you have to do? You have to show up. And the Prophet said, there was many years in Medina, he couldn't make Hajj. Right? They had blocked him. Even after Hudaybiyah, they had blocked him. He couldn't go. The way that he would show up, was he'd fast. So we should try to fast tomorrow. We should get up for Sahri. We should, sleep early tonight if we need to. Get up for Sahri and fast. And a person who fasts tomorrow will get the reward of or forgiveness of 1 year before and 1 year after. The Qadim as well. So 2 years just for 1 day of fasting. It's a tremendous amount of benefit. But the other thing to do is just to show up spiritually. Just to have a consciousness that this is the day of Arafah. Ya Allah, this is the day of your forgiveness. This is the day of your rahmah. Don't make me mahroom for that. And the more you show up, the more benefit you'll derive. Right? But don't let it come that the day came and passed and you missed Arafah. Right? That is inexcusable. Right? At least have some wukuf. Some wukuf of your heart where you take, because it'll be easy. Tomorrow's a work day. That you'll get up and the day will fly by before you even know it, and the next day is Eid, and you think, oh, I still need to get this for the kid and toys, and we haven't gotten this, masala from this Indian store, and there's a million things going on. You'll be so, and Shaitan's whole, efforts will be to make people not show up. Just show up. Allah will take care of the rest. Particularly, take some time between Asr Salah and Maghrib Salah. Right? This is a very special time in general for dua. But take that time and make some, it doesn't have to be 2 hours. It doesn't have to be as heartfelt as a dua that you made at Arafah. If you can, then that's great, right? Because it's a general principle in the deen. If you can't do an act, then pretend that you're doing it and hope for that reward. So we can attempt to do that, but even a few minutes, right? Taking some time, fasting is one thing. A few minutes after we come back from work or whatever the case between Asr and Maghrib, just put everything aside and make a heartfelt plea in munajat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, on the best day of the year, this is a way where I want to rectify where I'm going in my life, what I've been doing, what I've been doing over the past year and what I've been doing in general. And I couldn't go to Hajj to renew my life, but people who make Hajj, what happens? They return kayyomin waladatuhu ummu, like the day that their mother gave them birth. So I can't go over there, but also give me a fresh start. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a chance for us to restart ourselves, especially after all this COVID craziness and spiritual decimation that people have suffered from, and disconnection from our communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive our hearts the way that He revives the dead earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive our hearts the way that the hearts of the Sahaba were revived with the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.